Welcome back to the program, and Bulldog's in today, and this is his usual segment right now, even though he's been co-hosting through this morning. It's your time to shine, baby, for the next half an hour. Do you want me to read some of these texts out
first?
Yeah,
read them out.
Bulldog, you actually speak the truth.
Thank
Contact
you.
Sport will be gone in a few decades, although no one wants to admit it. You have the kahunas to say it, yet being in a strong minority.
No name.
That's
on
the
name.
Supportive one with no name on it.
And?
Hi, Mido and Laurie. I just want to put my fist through the radio and punch that idiot in the head. Why have
it's
a
assault.
That is assault. It's illegal. I won't go on with the rest of it, but Bulldog Fred is not happy. There's been over 1,000 kickoffs so far this year. Could you tell me how many concussions we've had out of that number, asked Paul. Bullfrog needs to go to the brain bank and make a sizable withdrawal. Is another one here.
Scotty here going, mate, I'll back you because you're a mate, Bulldog. But honestly, I can't agree with you. You muppet. That's from Scotty. You know Scotty?
I think I know Scotty, yes. Well,
he's a mate giving it to you?
Yeah. They're all turning. They're all turning. All because of you asking Fitzy. I didn't bring this up. You did.
I didn't bring it up. I asked Fitzy the question. I didn't
realize. Read the room.
I didn't realize they were just going to pile on you.
No, of course you didn't.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have brought it up.
I would have
protected you.
Colm, Bulldog's bite.
Yeah, Bulldog's bite. Now, you've written about
the West Tigers. Yeah, I wrote about the West Tigers today.
Crucial game, dog. At Scully Park at Tamworth for
Correct.
The Tigers, because they've now lost five straight, haven't they, after starting 2-1. So they're at a predicament that's all too familiar for them, as you've written today.
Yeah, I did write it. You know, I know I'll probably be accused of Tigers bashing, but they've delivered very little this year. We had the Benji era starting. We had a new administration, a new chairman, new coach, new year. But let's be honest, it's a recurring nightmare for the Tigers. We're right back to where we've been for the last 4 or 5 years. After 9 rounds, Mido, they're running 15th. Last year, they were running 17th. After 9. 2022, they're running 13th. 2021, 15th. So we're not seeing any improvement in results. Yes, you could argue there's a bit more resilience and grit there, Laurie.
Yep, I would definitely say that.
The bottom line is, the finals are all but gone now. I would be stunned if the Tigers can muster up enough to make the finals. And I just feel that the Marshall era, albeit there has been some positives, it's spluttering. 5 straight losses, and I wrote this morning that we find ourselves right back where we were last year, the year before, and the year before, and the year before.
But I still see some real positives with the West Tigers. You know, they're getting a couple of players next year in Luai, Saruva. You just see what the Dogs have been able to do. You know, they've just got to hold course, back some of these young players, keep getting in good players from good systems. And they will get there. And I know it's hard to see at the moment, but you've got to make small steps. You just can't have that one big sugar hit and make the finals. And
but
then
this
your
has
club
been
going
on for years,
yeah, lost. But it's not Benji's fault.
It's not Benji's fault.
So it's not Benji's fault. But what I'm saying is I can see change, and I can see a tougher football side, a more competitive team, even though the results aren't coming. That's what I'm saying. You can't blame what's happened in the past on Benji. You've got to judge him over a period of time. And if I'm judging him on what I'm seeing, I'm thinking they're going a lot better than what it looks. Because I think where they come from is off a, you know, not a real big base at all.
Well, they're no better than what they were, though. If you look at the competition table, I understand what you're saying, that there is some green shoots coming through. But if you look at the table, it's the same as what we were last year.
Yeah, but that's purely looking at numbers.
But that's what it is, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is sometimes you've got to look deeper. And I know that they've got some good, talented kids coming through. Tim Sheens has told me that for a while. The next crop of kids that are coming through. Galvin is one of them. An opportunity. They've got Buller there. Taruva's going there. They picked up Ollum. Luai is going there. You know, their forwards are good. You know, Appy's playing as well as what he can do.
Discipline's a big problem there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just watching them play, I see improvement.
I just look at a side, and to me, it looks like a team that's waiting for next year. They're waiting for Taruva to arrive, and they're waiting for Luai to arrive. I mean, can they make the semi-finals, Loz?
No, not this year, but I didn't have them in the semi-finals this year
anyway. I
get
that, but what I'm saying is, if I was a Tigers fan, would have liked to have been in finals contention a lot longer than being written off in early May.
Mm. Yeah, but to be fair, after 10 rounds, I would have thought if they had won 4 games, that's a good start to the year for the Tigers. That's what I would have thought.
See, fellow...
Because I reckon I had them winning about 6 to 8 games for the year. So that was my expectation. Of the Tigers, I don't know what Tiger supporters think. I don't know whether they're happy with how they're going, but me as an observer that's not invested in the club, I actually see them playing and think, yeah, I think there's improvement.
They've been down the bottom with the Dragons and Bulldogs for a couple of years now, but at least with Saints, I think they've won 4 from 9. The Dogs are 4 from 8, and they're in the top 8. They seem to be moving up the table where the Tigers aren't. Progressing.
Yeah, no, I get your point, mate. Yeah. I do get your point on numbers, but just from what I'm seeing, I think they're going, yeah, everyone wants to win games of footy. Would they be happy with what they're doing at the moment? No, because they're all competitors. They'd want to win more games, and Benji wouldn't be happy with the way that they're playing because he'd set such a high bar and have high expectations for this group. So I get all that. But as I said, as a neutral, I watch and I think they've improved.
Tell us about this Roosters link with the All Blacks.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, I think they're trying to build a bit of a relationship with the New Zealand Rugby Union side. The All Blacks assistant coach called Jason Ryan, he was spotted in the Roosters coaching box last week. I had that confirmed by Trent Robinson yesterday. He is a long-time Crusaders assistant. Do you think, Loz, that Union can learn off league and vice versa at the elite level?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that you can learn from other coaches, not just rugby union. I think a lot of people learn from rugby league, and I think rugby league learn from other sports and, learning how to manage players, how you set up your training system, watching other coaches, how they interact with players. I think there's a lot you can learn just as a manager or as a coach from other sports.
I floated another piece in Bulldogs Bite this morning, gents, about Wayne Bennett. Do you think he will be, assuming, of course, he does sign with the Rabbitohs, and we all believe that will be the case, do you think he will be involved in retention and recruitment negotiations for next year?
Surely.
With South as the year goes on? And if you think that would be the case, Mido, spot on. It's hardly ideal for the Dolphins. So where do we stand in this situation? I don't think Bennett will go to South immediately. He's under contract. Dolphins are going well. He will stay there. And I understand that Wayne has to be involved in recruitment and retention because that's the club he's going to. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, though, it's a bit of an awkward situation if you've got a coach at the Dolphins negotiating with player managers and or recruitment managers for a rival club for 2025?
Yeah, it's probably worse if he's looking to take players that the Dolphins want to keep. And I don't know whether he does. I'm just saying that generally, if you're a coach and you're leaving one particular team, and if you try and poach players that either are on contract or you can possibly talk to because they've got 1 year to go in November, that mightn't be a good look. But there's nothing stopping him from doing that. I get where you're coming from, but what do? He's off contract. There's no rules in place. If he's part of the recruitment, I think that's okay. The only thing that I would find uncomfortable about it, if you're looking to recruit players for the club that you're going to, being at your club. I don't think that'd sit well with anyone, would it?
Absolutely not.
No.
I guess it's more just that perception, Is he focusing on other areas than what he should be focusing on, which is the Dolphins?
Yeah, but
and I'm not questioning Wayne Bennett.
No,
the legend.
Mate, Wayne would be able to look after the recruitment side of South while he's still coaching. Yeah, he'd have time. Yeah, he could sit in on a meeting. He could sit in on a meeting five times a week for an hour and discuss players. He would be able to find time to do that. So I don't see it as an issue, but I get that it's not a good look if he starts approaching players either off contract that the Dolphins want to keep or the possibility of them coming off contract in November, well, 2025, but you can talk to them in 2024.
Just going through some Dolphins who, you know, could be of interest that are either off contract this year or next year.
Yeah, who are?
So next year, Connolly Lemuelu. We've got Jeremy Marshall King. That'll be a big one. He's off contract next year.
Bennett's got a huge rap on him.
Yeah,
and
he
rightly
does.
So.
I'm seeing Josh
Kerr. Well, they're both players that you'd think if they're off contract, any club would like to talk to.
Hmm. Felice Kaufusi's off contract next year. He's getting towards the back end of his career,
but you might get one year. See, I think he'll look at recruiting a couple of tough old forwards. That's my gut feel. Just tough, experienced forwards. He seems to do it wherever he goes. Gets those hard-working players that compete and
Mark
do a job.
Nicholas type.
Or Mark Nichols has a club option for next year.
Well, you know,
he's off contract
when he was at the Dragons, the Costigans and the Jeremy Smiths.
Foot soldiers.
Yeah, just tough old warriors that have been around for a long time. They know how to get the job done and, yeah, a few young blokes in there. Like, you imagine South if they get a couple of tough workers with a Cam Murray. Like, Cam won't have to do all the work.
Ray Stone's off contract this year. It's another one.
Yeah, well, there's another one. He'd fit the bill perfectly. He's a Wayne-style player, isn't he?
South do have a top-heavy roster in terms of salary cap. There's a lot of blokes there on big money. So maybe in due course some of those blokes may be moved on. And as you say, Laurie, a few more foot soldiers might come in who are in the middle bracket.
Well, what
in
do you
terms
think
of
he'll
money?
Do? Like in recruitment wise, well, he'll obviously try and turn the roster over with some players, but what type of player do you think he'll go for?
I think I was told the other day, Loz, and I can't prove this right now, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think there's eight players on roughly more than 800,000. So it's a real top heavy roster. So does that need to be manoeuvred around where one or two of those have to be moved on? And some of the players you just mentioned, Mido, like a Mark Nicholas come in for 350, 400 and do a lot of the hard yakka, a lot of the heavy lifting.
Because that's what I think that they will look to do. I think they'll just look for those experienced forwards that just are going to work and take some pressure off Cam Murray and allow other people to do what they do.
You've also written in Bulldogs Bite, had a bit of a giggle about the Jack Bird jersey situation on the weekend. Had a giggle about it. Up the Dargans, they spelt Dragons wrong, for his 150th game on the jumper. But just a giggle as well, considering, Laws, the stories you've told us about Jack Bird, like when you told him about his Origin debut, etc. Possibly suits the persona.
I like Birdie. He's just a good, tough player. But you got to ask, who did the spell check?
What happened was, apparently, the Dragons put out the jersey to the embroiders, and the wording and spelling that the Dragons gave the embroiders was correct.
Oh, right.
Somehow the embroiders have got it wrong. It's come back on game day, as I understand.
Yeah. Well, it's not the Dragons' fault, then.
Essentially not.
Yeah.
It's come back on game day. Someone who perhaps should have looked at the spelling didn't. It was game day. Everyone was busy, and they've realised it just before kickoff that there is a spelling mistake. But I do love Australia. There's always an entrepreneur out there somewhere, and there's a couple of T-shirts already out there, big red T-shirts with right in the front saying, Up the Dargans.
You can imagine if they go on a winning streak, the Dargans.
It'll become a sellout.
It will be, because up the Wars, up the Dargans.
Up the Dargans.
Mm. It's like the milk. Go the milk.
One more issue.
Go for it.
Do you want to go for a break?
No. We'll...
I ran a Twitter poll.
To the toilet.
I ran a Twitter poll last week. I asked a question, Loz, and I'll get your thoughts on this. Just on Twitter, I wrote, who is Manly's greatest ever halfback, just out of interest?
Right.
Twitter only gives you four options in a poll. So the four options I put down were Cherry Evans, Jeff Toovey, Des Hasler, and I put in Phil Blake. It did mean I had to leave out John Mays, John Gibbs, Matt Orford, Dennis Ward, and Steve Martin, some of the greats from the past. I was a little surprised at the result, though. Cherry Evans won. I'm not disputing that, but I had about 650 votes. But Cherry Evans had about 59% from Jeff Toovey on 32. Oh,
recency bias.
Perhaps.
I'm not saying that either.
But
I don't
Toovey's
know.
Toovey's a legend.
Yeah, well, I played with him and against Toovey. And there's not a more courageous, tougher player than him.
Yeah, it's Toovey.
I can't go back in the early days, and I don't know what their records are. Who are the ones that you mentioned that could possibly challenge?
Some players I couldn't put in the poll because it logistically wouldn't allow me. Mays, who won the grand finals
in
73 and also in 75.
Yeah.
Johnny Gibbs, a kangaroo. Matt Orford, Dally M, captain 2008 for 40-0.
Yeah.
Dennis Ward won the first premiership with Manly in 72, and Steve Martin won a comp with Manly in 78.
Oh.
I just couldn't fit them in. Phil Blake ran third, Dez ran fourth.
Yeah.
Probably the Dez factor, if you're a Manly fan, wouldn't have helped because he's involved in legal action with the club, so that was probably another reason his numbers were down. I'm not disputing DCE being one. I was just surprised that he almost doubled Jeff Toovey. I thought the gap might have been a little narrower.
Yeah, well, take nothing away from Daly because I think he's been a wonderful player. But for me, it'd be Jeff Toovey. I think Toovey was the heart and soul of Manly. He was the heart and soul of Manly when he played. Now Cliffy was the star, obviously, with the ball. But Jeff Toovey epitomised everything that Manly was. And the way that he would throw his body around, I've never seen anyone that size do that before.